Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's just a completely different. There's no more hope.
I think I know more now.
That was the voice of Lou Merlone in New York. He is prepping for game 3, and we are prepping to talk to Lou Merlone.
Lineup is out.
Before we get to Lou, we got some news of the day. Dan Ball.
All right, lineup tonight for the Red Sox. Jarren Duran back in the leadoff spot. He is back in left field. Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataka Yoshida, Andy's guy, is your DH. Seidon Rafaela in center field hitting fifth for the Red Sox tonight. Nate Lowe at first. Carlos Narvaez, your catcher. Willy Abreu in right. And Romy Gonzalez is your number 9 hitter this evening. He is at second base.
Interesting. Let's go to the guest line now then and get instant reaction from Lou Merlone. You just heard the lineup is out. What is the most notable aspect of that lineup, Lou?
I think the only question was second base. You know, Romy Gonzalez, when you have faced righties, has been hitting fifth for you behind Yoshida now for 2 or 3 weeks. It looked like a set lineup. He hasn't looked right here the last couple of days. I don't know if he's dealing with something or not, but for him to be in this lineup, but hitting ninth, kind of tells you they're trying to manage maybe late in the game. He might be a guy that they'd look to maybe bring somebody in to swing it for and shit.
All right, now that we got the lineup out of the way and your reaction, how you feeling? You the blood pressure okay? Where's the pulse, the heart rate? What have you been doing all day to get ready? Because you still got, what, 3 hours, 3+ hours?
Yeah, you got to pace yourself is what you really got to do. And I've been doing it all day long. I'm on the train right now, about to arrive at Yankee Stadium. So it doesn't really hit you until you're kind of in the booth with like 10 minutes to go, you know what I mean, before the first pitch. So you try to kind of calm the nerves and get ready to go here. But the beauty of it is, like, I still have those same feelings like I played. The difference is I don't have to go out and play. I can just sit there and watch it. So it's kind of nice.
So, Lou, of all the different things that went wrong last night or that the Red Sox didn't do that led to that unfortunate 4-3 defeat, which one bothered you the most?
Yeah. I would say the Bayo start. You know, because I felt like the reason why Whitlock was stretched for 2 innings is because he couldn't get through the third. And that just sort of started, the bullpen deployment, right? If he had given you 3 1/3, if he had given you 4 innings, you're not going to have to get 2 innings from Garrett Whitlock. You get 1 inning, and it might affect tonight's ball game as well. So I just think the way it started, I think it was a good call. I don't think he had anything. I think it's a bad lineup matchup for him. Hasn't been in the past, but back then he used to be able to throw a changeup. And the fact that he hasn't been able to throw one now for a month in this ballpark, that's scary. So I think it was the right call, but it just really made the bullpen a guy short.
Hey, Lou, I was listening to you guys last night for the first few innings, and it seemed like you guys thought that maybe the Sox hitters were kind of laying off some really good pitches. They weren't as aggressive, that maybe they were thinking that, they just wanted to make – tax Rondon to get to the bullpen. Do you think that should be a strategy? I mean, clearly getting to the Yankees bullpen is a strategy. They're trying to do that, but should they be a little bit more aggressive in some of these early in these counts than they were in last night's game?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a different ball game tonight with the guy in the mound. I just feel like Fried and Rondon, who both threw a lot of fastballs, really didn't throw many, you know, in against this Yankee Red Sox lineup rather. So like early on, I think that kind of, he didn't challenge them as much. Fastballs in, fastballs away. That's why you saw a lot of sliders and changeups taken for strikes. I think he kind of kept them off balance a little bit. But tonight's a different story. I think all around, you know, you got two young kids in the mound. You don't know how long they're going to go. It's an elimination game. Somebody may go 2 innings and be throwing the ball well. This is one of those crazy games where everybody comes out of that bullpen. I would think everybody, except for probably Crochet and Bale, but you never know with him either.
Lou Maloney, who will be in the booth again tonight with Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, and throughout the rest of the playoffs, assuming there is a rest of the playoffs after tonight in this game. Connelly Early. You know, these numbers are flying around. He's like the first guy to start a playoff elimination game within 30 days of his big league debut, and all youngest guy since Babe Ruth to start a playoff game. Is he ready for this situation?
Yeah, we're going to find out. It's hard to say yes or no because we haven't seen him enough. I think the one thing to keep in mind is, like, you know, he's had four starts, two on the road. His two starts on the road were in Tampa and Sacramento, two ballparks that are minor league parks.
Yeah.
You know, he's never pitched in front of more than 12,000 people. You know, on the road, that is. He's never pitched in, you know, a ballpark with a third deck, and the Yankee Stadium experience could be a little bit different. But I tell you what, like he puts me at ease. Like, he's a calm guy out there in the mound. He gets a ton of swing and miss. He's kept the ball in the ballpark. He's only given up one extra base hit in four starts. Like, I actually feel pretty confident with him out there. And they're going to probably ask him to maybe go four inning stops.
Yikes, I can't believe we're looking for a glorified opener tonight. It is a massive stage. And opposite him, Lou, we got to root against a local kid tonight. I mean, you know, he's from Walpole, went to college around here. What do you know about Schlittler, and what should Red Sox, it's difficult to say, what should Red Sox fans expect from Schlittler?
He's just 98-99 on top of the zone. He's a big guy. Throws the ball hard. You know, it's true, right? You don't want to hate against your local guys, but he's from Walpole. So I'm going old school for a Bay State League, Framingham Walpole rivalry. So for me, it's easier.
I hated Walpole growing up in Braintree, Lou. Come on. I hated him.
That's what I mean. So, but however, you know, Northeastern guy playing for my boy, Mike Glavin down in Northeastern. He loves him, but still, I think Glav's rooting for the bullpen to give it up. But it's an interesting game, right? Because you got these two rookies out there. One's from Walpole, went to Northeastern against you, pitching for the Yankees. So it's both young pitchers. I think it's going to be obviously a big bullpen game, and this game will be decided probably in the middle innings.
Well, I was going to ask you about the bullpen because it feels like the Yankees have used a lot of their high-leverage pitchers you know, in the last two games. Does that give the Red Sox an advantage in the bullpen because of that?
You know, it's funny because it's like 3 days. They're all going to go on 3 days. You know, Whitlock's on 47 pitches. But I still kind of view this as, like, you know, it's the first round. Like, you know, if we're talking about the ALCS, you know, in 2 weeks, if we're talking about the World Series, then you start talking about usage of bullpens. But I'm not really sure it comes into play today. You know, I expect Whitlock to be ready.
Holy train.
Uh-oh. Lou? Did you miss your train?
No. A train just went flying by me.
So, oh.
But you're okay.
Watch out on those platforms, Lou.
Behind the yellow line.
Holy smokes.
No. Was it like a 4-5 or something?
Step away from the line.
Yeah. My answer in the train talk, that's a good way of saying I don't see it being a problem here tonight. The playoffs just started. These guys are still kind of fresh. Give them a couple weeks before they're really struggling.
So, Lou, my guy Ted Johnson has questioned Jaron Duran when he's in the leadoff spot. He's questioned sometimes if he puts too much pressure on himself. And obviously, Jaron Duran made a huge mistake last night, which you could argue cost them the game. Butterfly effect, who knows? Took accountability for it. Now he's in the leadoff spot, coming off last night. Do you expect him to bounce back? Do you think he's a guy that can use that as motivation, try to do too much? Could it hinder him? What do you get from him tonight?
Yeah, you know, with him, it's just a wild card. That's the thing. I think a lot of times, you know, it wasn't the best series for him, strictly because he's coming in facing Fried and Rodon. He's going to be the lefty that plays every day. He's 2-for-26 off those two guys combined. He doesn't hit well in Yankee Stadium. So it wasn't really set up for him very well in the first two games. And when that happens, I think he realizes how important he is to the team. And if he's not swinging it, I think sometimes he takes it out on himself, obviously. And in the field, sometimes it can be a little shaky. So that play there, yeah, you'd like to see him make it. There's no question about it. The key for him tonight is going to be lay off the fastball up, you know, because that's a pitch that he likes to chase. He likes to swing at. And Schlittler's got a good one. It's going to be 98 up top there. So hopefully he can rebound. You know, one swing of the bat from Jaron Duran can change it. We've seen that, right? And, like, these games where guys have kind of struggled in a series, and all of a sudden in the clincher, somebody who has struggled comes up big, and we sort of forget about the first two. So hopefully that's him.
Lou, if you could pick anyone besides Duran to be the spark plug, to be the person that gets the offense going tonight, so we're not looking at a 1-0, 2-1 affair, who would it be?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's got to be the two guys you kind of lean on here, and Story and Bregman. Story's come up huge every time all year long when the team needs something or is winning big games or getting big hits. He's been in the middle of all of it. And then you got to lean on the experience of Bregman. You know, I mean, he's been here before. So hopefully he just kind of comes in here, relaxed, loose, and that kind of guys play off of that. But, you know, in that first inning, if you see guys that have been here before, like Story, like Bregman, come out and maybe have a good at-bat, hit the ball hard, whatever. Get on base, pop a double. I think that can kind of relax some of the guys.
Hey, Lou, I heard your little mini rant after the game, so I'm going to set the ball on the tee for you to knock it out.
Nice.
They have thousands of at-bats the Red Sox have this year, but only 13 bunt attempts. I heard you last night talking about the bunting and how come these guys can't execute the bunt better? In BP, do the guys not practice bunting as part of their BP practice? Why can't they bunt better?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they practice bunting, but it's just like anything else. You can take BP all you want, but until you get in a game and do it, it's completely different. To me, it's the problem with baseball, and it's not just the Red Sox, you know, although given the type of team they are right now, and they really did this in September, you know, moved the runner, put some bunts down in September. But the game itself, like for 6 months, is, you know, hit home runs, don't bunt. That's not a way to maximize runs. Well, should I move the runner over for third? Nope. Try to get a hit, try to hit a double, try to score 3 or 4 runs every inning. And then it seems like when the games matter the most, when we're in the playoffs, you see all these teams trying to bunt. And all of a sudden, contact matters. Like people are like, no, I can't strike out in the playoffs. Need more contact. Well, you know, you need more contact. You need to do little things. You got to play fundamental baseball. But in a regular season, none of that matters. Like, how does that make sense? Like, how do we not preach moving runners and making contact and bunting and winning ball games during a regular season? And then all of a sudden in October, we want our team to figure out how to play differently. Like, it just, and like I said, it's not the Red Sox. It's everybody. All of a sudden you get to the postseason and the things that should matter all of a sudden matter. But for 6 months, you tell me they don't. It's just a weird place.
All right, Lou, before I ask you to map out what is going to happen tonight, we got to bitch about one more thing. Can you explain to me, I keep going through it, I don't understand why Nate Eaton is not thinking, I'm crossing home plate no matter what. If the inning ends on a ground ball to first, whatever. If not, I score. Like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah, I think that's a little combination of both him and Kyle Hudson, third base coach. You know, I think up the middle, he's waving him when he sees it caught. Matt, immediately it's like, wait, hold on here, you know, because he may fake the throw to first, you know what I mean? Like, and hold it and probably just come home with it. That type of thought. To me, I like to see him round the base a little more aggressively. I mean, even if Bryce picks that ball and he's safe, he's not going to throw across the diamond and throw him out. So if you're a third of the way down and it turns into the conversation turns into, hey, follow the ball, follow the ball, follow the ball. Then you see it trickle away. You got a better shot of scoring. Now I will say this, the angle in which that ball ricocheted off Rice. If you think about where the third basemans are, it kind of went to Rice's back right. And as a third baseman, third base coach, I'm not sure they knew he caught it or it trickled away.
Yeah.
Like if that ball bounced towards the home plate, given where you're standing on third, you would have seen that. But it was kind of behind him and Yoshida, and it's tough to kind of see. It's unfortunate. If you were uber aggressive, which maybe you should have been because it was 3-2, two outs and just send him the entire time, he would have scored easily.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. All right, so let's move on. It's game three. You'll be in the booth tonight, Yankee Stadium here on WEEI. What's going to happen? Yep. Map it out for us.
I think they'll win.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Bregman leaving the hotel, and I don't really see him smile too much, and he just had a huge smile on his face. He looked at me, and he's just like, this is going to be fun. And for some reason, I just calmed my whole body down.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why. But I think, you know, I don't know how far they can go because their pitching's really thin. But I think that they can ruin this parade here in Yankee Stadium tonight. And I'm going to be here for it, and I can't wait for it.
Love it.
Lou's attitude immediately after the game turned to positivity. He was not – he had already forgotten about last night's game right after the game.
Yep.
Well, because Lou also
That's
knows
the beauty of it. Yep.
That in 13 straight wild card series, the team that won game one won the series.
Right.
Right now, yep. And it's 1-1 in Detroit and Cleveland, so that is not false yet. No one has screwed that up, so Red Sox can ride that to victory. Hopefully, we're talking to you soon about Blue Jays, Red Sox. Enjoy the game.
Have fun, bud.
Hope so, too. All right, guys, have a great one. Enjoy
See you,
it.
Big See you. Thank you, buddy.
That was Lou Merlone, huffing and puffing his way from the train to Yankee Stadium. I didn't know if that was his energy or the walk or a combination.
I think he almost got clipped by a subway or something.
I think he did. Yeah. He got scared.
Yeah. He got scared.
He was shook for a second there. Whatever blew by him at a high rate of speed.
You got to pay attention when you're on the phone.
Well, and it's not just the train. Subways. It's the gust of wind that moves you, and you're like, holy crap, that's strong. Could have lost his phone. We could have been bouncing around down by the third rail. Thankfully, he made it, though, and finished the interview. And he'll be in the booth tonight with Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, here on WEEI Game 3. Red Sox-Yankees will continue to break it down with some of those cuts from Lou Merlone up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.